pull it tight. Stefan Melander becomes Sweden's man on the moon.
Ken Workington is no stranger to the big races, and not just here with the Hambo, but also in Sweden, where they love him over there ever since the 2001 call of the Hambo win by Scarlett Knight and Stefan Melander, the man on the moon call. Ken, welcome to Trot Radio. Good to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Before we do anything else, yeah. Sweden's man on the moon, what popped in your head to make you say that?
Well, I had heard it. I think it was one of the Klaus Koch or one of the journalists actually came up to me last week and said that he came up with it. So wherever it originated, it was one of those things where a Swedish trainer or driver, for that matter, was able to climb the Hamiltonian Mountain and actually, figuratively speaking, reach the top type thing and won the Hamiltonian. And if he were to do that, he would be like Sweden's man on the moon. So I kind of stole it and used it.
One of the TV stations actually sampled your call in a song.
Stefan Melander, who Tarzan, who comes to the Hamiltonian every year for the Hamiltonian, he gave me a copy or a DVD or a CD of some song that had the race call in it. It was kind of cheesy, but
why
it was
not?
Fun. It's all part of fun, and I think that's part of the game over there too, is to have fun. I think we've here in North America we've kind of lost touch with that fun sort of aspect of it, and I think we take it too seriously sometimes.
Oh, do you think we take it too seriously from the betting standpoint? Whereas over there it's more about the sport and the participants.
Absolutely, over there it's more about the sport, the event, the celebration of racing, the appreciation of racing, but the lifeblood of their sport is that V75 bet.
And on the positive side, however, unlike here where we depend on slots, which have nothing to do with racing, the V75 bet, at least that's racing focus. So, they've got it together over there. Tell me something. If I go to a Hambo and then I go to an Elitlop, mm-hmm. How is the experience different? You know, because you were there.
It's very similar. I mean, you have a large crowd, enthusiastic crowd, yet their crowds there seem to be, I don't want to say they're more knowledgeable. They're just more enthusiastic, more passionate. There's music. There's guys banging on drums, and I like their use of music there to build the drama and excitement. There's music in the post parade, different types of music. They've done they've actually had done some studies on it, they use music or appropriate music in certain spots to build the day and kind of get the crowd going, and the crowd really gets into it. There's chanting. I mean, when Lucky Jim came by just to warm up, we had like 30, 40,000 people chanting Lucky Jim and whoever it was going by. It just stirs the emotions. Horse racing, as you know, Norm, it's human drama and equine drama and excitement. After the Elite Lop, I spoke to one of the Lucky Jim people and Bill Gregg, and I said, there were several times this week where I was just, to steal a line from a police song, I was driven to tears. it was really emotional and got you going that way and hooked you. And I think that's where they've kind of got an edge on it, whereas we just keep running races over and over again. That sort of thing gets lost.
Yeah, and I would think that it would be emotional for guys like you and I and others for that matter, because let's face it, we're way down the list over here. And to go to Sweden and participate in the sport that we absolutely love and see it in a position of such popularity, it kind of validates you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And there were so many people that stopped me and just wanted to talk about racing here and there and the differences. A lot of people ask me, hey, what do you think? What's it like for you now here? What are your impressions? What's your opinion of this and so on as compared to American racing? And I was impressed. I mean, their style of racing, Norm, as you know, is different. It's more tactical.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a different mindset when it comes to that. There's more of a controlling the pace. They have different types of racing as well. They had the cold bloods.
Yeah.
And maybe the most important, I would say the most impressive race of the day or performance of the day was an under saddle race.
Mm.
And of course, they go the different distances and they have the different starting procedures. But it was a horse from France called Prince de Montfort. He's a champion. He won by like the length of the stretch. And I also saw a Hamiltonian prospect in Raja Mirchi for Ludwig Koldin. Ludwig Genie. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that horse made a break, but he's been an outstanding horse over there, and he's looks like he's going to ship here for the Hamiltonian. But that trotting under saddle race was extremely impressive. I think it went in 53 and change.
And they used regular jocks, and so weight and everything else becomes an issue.
Yeah, it was just like the crowd went nuts, and all the way down the stretch, the jockey was saluting the crowd. and after the interview came back, and people, again, the music started, and the crowd chanted and appreciated, you know, the effort and the performance, and kind of tied it all together and put a nice bow on it. And it just sent chills up your spine. It really did.
Yeah, boy, that's something I got to check out
before. It's a spectacle. You know, their opening ceremonies, they had it had to be like 200 or 300 strong choir singing in the infield. You know, the balloons. They had kids along the rail with flags, and they had the participants come by in a bus, like one of those double decker buses.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Kleinhans was there with his 5-year-old son Quinn, and Andy and Julie Miller, and you know, it wasn't a great day for the shippers, but you know, they conducted themselves. They should hold their heads high because they conducted themselves well, and they were well treated. Everybody had a good time, and that's what it's all about. It's not always about winning. It's about you know, participating and enjoying the event.
Now, I understand that harness racing is only third behind hockey and soccer.
Oh, yeah, it's a national phenomenon, really. They've got, 32 or 33 tracks.
Wow.
There's three thoroughbred tracks, but they have a racing channel that's pretty much on all the time, and they're always concentrating on the V75 races. And I did every day, well, actually a couple of days, their national television, which was on, I think, Elite Lop Day, 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
They show all the, you know, they show a lot of races on the day. They don't just show the Elite Lop and the Olympics. And they do a lot of, there's extensive coverage. It's a national thing. It's part of the fabric of the nation there, you know, just like hockey.
I want to talk just briefly about what you mentioned earlier about race flow and things like that, because frankly, you know, I'm a diehard, but even I get tired of looking at single file alignment until about just before the three quarters, and then maybe something happens. You're right. Over there, you see a lot more race flow. How is it that their horses over there can live on the parkway, and our horses are crying for mama if they go to quarter mile parked out?
I guess it's just the way they condition the horses and do it added. You know, they train their horses longer distances through the woods on sand tracks. You know, it's just part of the conditioning. And I saw a ton of horses win first over there because they're just not going, you know, the idea is when you're first over is you just don't, you know, they're not going too fast, but you're braving up the horse somehow. Mm. And, you know, they're not allowed to get after them with the whip. They're only allowed to whip them, I believe, the judge held up his hand 5 times. So they can hit them 5 times, but not, of course, with any oomph.
Yeah.
And they have to keep their hands in the hand holds. But somehow they keep these horses live first over on this 5/8 mile track, which has an 18 degree bank. It's pretty banked. And a lot of horses that were in the 2-hole, like the pocket ride or the 3-hole, didn't win. Except for, I guess it was Torval Palima. He had a 3-hole trip. But Paul McDonnell said.
Yeah, he got locked in.
Yeah, but he said in hindsight, you know, that horse was good. He was out of the three shippers. That horse was on. John Bax had that horse in good shape that day, and he was really good. I mean, he fired out. And Paul McDonnell said in an interview on the WEG TV that in hindsight he might have done it a little different and tried to hold the lead, at least hold it a little longer, not give up the lead so easily. And he got jammed in, and he really didn't get clear. There was a lot. It was speed favoring. The front end held up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're on the rail, you just can't get you get locked in that you're not allowed to let a horse out off the rail there. You can't drift out or you get fined. So that happened a lot. But, you know, there were other typical situations like horses coming from second over and from off the pace as well. There were different, you know, similar situations that you'll see here in North American racing.
Mm. Well, there's obviously a lot we can learn, not just from a racing standpoint, but from how the game is promoted over there and how we can do it here. What's the one thing you think we could adapt right now on this side of the pond from Sweden that would help our game significantly?
Well, maybe the V75 or something similar, but they have humongous extensive youth programs to get the kids involved at the grassroots level. That's how you develop fans as opposed to trying trying to grasp and grope and try to get $2 bettors. There's a massive amateur drivers association, that massive. I mean, a lot of amateur drivers, a lot of people do that as a hobby. And one of their ideas I was impressed with is the association there buys a horse at auction for, say, $40,000. And in a contest, they give the horse to 1,000 people. Now, I don't know how that's going to work logistically. I mean, it seems like a logistic nightmare. But 1,000 people own this horse, and they bring their friends to the track, and they keep the horse for a year, and then they sell it, and they do it again.
Wow.
And, of course, the profits and the proceeds go to the fans. They don't have to pay the bills and so on. So it ends up costing – it might not end up costing the track anything, you know. But it gets a lot of people involved that way, and it's a hugely popular thing. So those things are good, but – they get the kids involved. They get people involved when they're young. And it's kind of like hockey, you know. And my dad took me to the rink when I was 4 years old. I didn't turn out into anything, but, you know, as far as hockey is concerned.
Hey.
But that worked, you know. I mean, I was introduced to it at a young age. And the, you know, the same thing goes with racing. You know, as a kid, I grew up, near, you know, close to Greenwood Racetrack and got to know some people and you know, took an interest in the sport. And I think that's where it you have to start. You have to start with youth programs. And then as far as the adults go, you know, the amateur drivers, the own a piece of a horse contests and things, get people involved. And I think we've lost touch with the aspect of fun. This is fun. It's not rocket science. You know, it's fun, and I think we need to emphasize the fun.
So you already packed for your next trip out there?
No, I'm going to Kawartha Downs at the end of August.
Hey, that's great.
That fan appreciation night, and I'm looking at the calendar here. I think it's the 21st of August.
Well, you know what? I'm going to see if I can make a trip down there, and we can have a little hot toddy, couple of pops. Yeah, there you go. In the meantime, go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks. You know, Bill Waters on Leafs Lunch said they're in trouble. But I don't believe that. I think it was just a natural lapse in that game three, and I think they just wanted to lose that so they could win it at home, right?
That's right. Nicely put. Hey,
yeah,
Ken, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate the fact that you're always available for Trot Radio, and thank you for sharing your experiences out in Sweden with us, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.